Hi, everyone, and welcome into a post-Marquette Madness edition of Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette podcast. I'm Joe McCann. Phil Bush with me, as always. We're just going to talk about the night now that basketball is getting closer and closer, just kind of break down what happened and maybe what's ahead as we look forward to the season. Less than a month away now, Phil. How was Marquette Madness?
It was madness, I guess. No, it was good. Lots of folks. The Owl was essentially basically full, so that was good to see. Madness, don't go in expecting Globetrotter type basketball, but it was a good fun little night.
Right, really Marquette Madness, and this is really the same for any basketball school across the country. It's the first really big exciting event on campus if you don't have a football team, because we're all excited about basketball, and this is the first real indication that basketball is on the way. It's exciting because for most fans it's their first chance to see the freshmen in person, and of course it's the first chance to see all the players play for the first time since March, so it's kind of a reunion for everybody, and everyone gets to put on their blue and gold and get out there and cheer again. Of course, you were there. I was not. It's a little bit of a drive from Texas, so I wasn't quite able to make it. So we're just kind of going to go through the night and kind of break it down and what you saw, what you liked, maybe anything you may have gotten out of it that maybe you didn't know heading into it, Phil. First of all, overall, what were your kind of first impressions of Madness? Anything you really particularly enjoyed?
Well, I'm going to put a caveat out there for this whole discussion that it is far too easy to read way too much into everything that went on at Madness. Having said that, I'm going to read a lot into what went on at Madness.
Well, we can overreact.
Yes, we exist on the interweb, so we can blow everything out of proportion. The overall event, I would say they've gotten it down pretty tight. I mean, we showed up about 15 minutes late, and the whole thing was started at 7, and it was over by about 9:15. So it was about a little over 2 hours. The women's team came out, did some shoot around, did a scrimmage. Then they kind of introduced the team. I thought the most enjoyable, heartwarming moment of the night was Chris O'Toole getting the Marquette Madness Lifetime Achievement Award. They had a tribute video, and some of the players that ended up in the video, because it was all about O'Toole, I kind of went, oh, that guy, I haven't seen him in 7 years. And then I went, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Right. The Prey video, of course, made its rounds on the web leading up to Marquette Madness, one of the famous Marquette Madness videos ever, because it was just so well done. And it's funny because O'Toole was in the original one when
yeah.
it first came out, because he was a freshman. And it's funny to see watching that and you see somebody like Liam McMorrow making an appearance
yeah.
alongside, of course, one of our all-time favorites like Dominique James and Jarrell McNeil and Wesley Matthews. But yeah, O'Toole has just done the whole stretch of it from Prey to this one here. 6 Marquette Madness events. It's going to be funny this year because for my family and friends that I'll watch games with that maybe don't follow Marquette as closely as I do, they're going to inevitably say, oh my gosh, O'Toole's still at Marquette? I'm like, yep, still at Marquette. 6 years. Absolutely happy to have him back. And I think that's kind of cool that, I guess the Lifetime Achievement Award was done somewhat in jest, but what Buzz Williams said about O'Toole and how proud of him he was, that was not in jest. That was sincere, and I thought you really kind of saw what a special relationship Buzz and O'Toole had.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and, a little, we'll get to the seriousness of Buzz's statement, but I went to Madness with our buddy John, and the joke by the end of the night was, when was O'Toole going to be graduating with his dental degree? Buzz, actually, he kind of, it was a little bit of a buzzkill just from the standpoint of a little bit of a buzzkill just from the standpoint of the crowd was up and fired up and having a good time, and Buzz was so earnest and so serious about what he said that everyone just kind of stopped and was kind of sitting there, just kind of got hushed, and it was really, I thought, I not that Buzz is unknown for being emotional and getting choked up from time to time, but by the end he was a little emotional. It got a little dusty in the Owl for Buzz at the end. So that was a very,
how emotional is senior night going to be then?
Oh my God, it's we're gonna need a mop and a lot of time.
First 15,000 fans get free tissues.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I think that would be a great promotion, Bradley Center. But get to work on that. I think that would be a good one.
Well, you're right. I'll as soon as we get done with this podcast, I'll run over to the Owl and see if I can get that worked out. But, no, it was a nice moment. And like I said, it's one of those where you go, oh, man, I just can't imagine another coach being like that and being that sincere and that poignant in that kind of moment. It just really cemented, once again, why Buzz is the just the best.
Right. That's why everyone loves Buzz. As we all have fun and enjoy basketball and play this game or watch this game, they play the game, we watch it. Buzz loves to interject life lessons and talk about being good citizens and good fathers and mothers and husbands and wives and stuff like that, and he likes to remind people of that. And I think even in a festive, fun, pretty much casual event, he took the opportunity to use as a little teaching moment. And that's just kind of who Buzz is. He's always a teacher and he's always passing lessons along. And if you've followed that great series on paint touches that they've been doing on Buzz Williams, definitely check it out, because you give your zoo a real great insight to kind of who Buzz is. If you didn't already know, maybe we all kind of have a vague idea of who he is, and that article, those series of articles certainly get you a little bit closer. And that speech with Otule was just another sampling of kind of what kind of a guy Buzz is, and that's why players, administrators, fans, and we all really, really like him.
Yeah, I agree. It was a nice moment, and then it was kind of over, and we went on and did some basketball stuff, and they introduced the team. First of all, a couple of things actually. One fun and one may or may not be a substantial thing that came out of the introductions. They introduced Gardner as I.B. Chillendough, which got a good laugh out of the crowd. But then they also introduced him as a power forward.
Well, he's really slimmed down. I think the measurement I saw, he's down to like 240 now.
I thought I had heard he was 260, but I
okay, all right, maybe I missed it. But bottom line, he's nowhere near 300.
No,
when he showed up on campus.
He's far and away skinnier from where he was.
And if he's going to be in the NBA, which is something at this point he has to have his mind on a year from now, he's going to be a power forward. And I think it'll be great to see him play power forward this year. I think we'll see a lot more Otule and Gardner together. Buzz experimented with that some last year with some success, and I think we'll see that more and more, because Gardner, it seems like every year for the past 3 years we've said at this time at Marquette Madness, wow, Gardner's lost some weight.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And we've said that each year. And Buzz has always kind of harped on Gardner. He's not really joking. He's just kind of really being hard on him with a purpose when he says, yeah, Gardner's pretty good for a fat guy. He's like, well, if he wasn't so fat, he'd do this. I wish he wasn't so fat. And he doesn't say it to be mean. He says that because he sees so much in Gardner. He sees so much potential in him. And I think that potential is really going to come out this year. I think Gardner could be in line for a really, really big season, like first team All Big East quality season. Now, maybe first team All Big East isn't what it used to mean, but it's still going to be a high honor, and I think he realistically has a good shot at it, because he looks trimmer from the videos I've seen. He looks very athletic, and of course, you know, as long as he hasn't lost that shooting touch, which apparently he hasn't, because apparently he had a pretty good performance in the three-point exhibition he had, I think he's in line for a really big year.
Yeah, well, he and Jake Thomas had an event. They billed it as trying to break the Guinness Book of World Records for most three-point shots made in a minute. And Gardner, I think he hit 19. Jake Thomas hit 22 in a minute. But Gardner hit 19, and the ones he missed were all on. There were no shots that didn't look like they didn't have a shot at going in. He doesn't really jump, but unless he's going for a dunk, he never really jumps for anything. But he's got
a rebound. Let's give him a little credit.
All right, that's true.
Jump for a rebound.
That's true. That's fair. But he had a smooth shot. I can definitely see him in the tradition of Jay Crowder and Lazar Hayward and Jimmy Butler having that trailer three from the power forward position at the top of the arc, because he was...
And if he truly adds that aspect to his game, I guarantee he gets drafted.
Oh, absolutely.
If he becomes a consistent three-point shooter. I don't know if he'll get that opportunity, because you know Buzz is still going to want him down low. That's where his strength is, going to the rack, getting fouled. and then getting to the free throw line. He's still going to do that the most. But if he can show in games that he can make three-pointers, I definitely think he gets drafted this year. And if you follow Devontae on Twitter, you know that his favorite NBA player is Dirk Nowitzki. He loves Dirk. He talks about him all the time, and I think he would love to be a player like Dirk.
Well, he showed a couple of turnaround 17-foot fadeaway jumpers a la Dirk Nowitzki. I think he went 1-for-3 or 1-for-4 on those, but he definitely had him on his mind.
I'm glad that Devontae has that added aspect of being able to shoot. Still want him down low, but it's great that he's adding that. Was dunk contest after that, or they went to the scrimmage?
Yeah, they went to the dunk contest after that.
All right, tell me what you thought about any kind of takeaways, anything really jumped out at you about the dunk contest.
I have to say, and this is tough for me because I don't know where he's going to get the minutes, but Deonte Burton, the kid walks around like he's 87 years old. He just looks like he's falling apart the way he walks, like his knees are just creaky. And then all of a sudden, he went for his first dunk of the night was just explosive. He just came out of nowhere and threw the legs, windmill over the top, dunked it. It was insane. And I don't know if the expectations were just so low from watching him walk around, but he's got some pop to his step. With the log jam that's going to be at the 3-4 with McKay, Jameel, Devontae, maybe Juan Anderson, Steve Taylor. I don't know where he's going to get minutes, but he's got some explosive step there that I wasn't anticipating.
Yeah, a couple podcasts back when we were kind of breaking down the depth chart, I think we agreed at the time that he probably has the athleticism and explosiveness on offense to see minutes. It'll be on the defensive end that will determine how much he plays, I think. I think he needs to – I have no idea how he's doing in practice as far as defensively. I'm sure he's doing well enough. Will it be well enough to get significant minutes? That, I think, is what remains to be seen with Deonte Burton.
Yeah. Other than that, there wasn't much to take away. I mean, there was a couple of freshmen involved and, Juwan Johnson, or Trey J, as I'm insisting on calling him. And
that could catch on.
Yeah, I think it's good. I don't think I came up with it. Somebody else did, but I'm gonna ride it till it dies. Dwayne Wilson also was involved. They were fine. They were about as athletic as you expected them to be. About as skinny as freshmen looking as you would expect them to be. So
sure.
There wasn't, other than Deonte Burton, I wouldn't say there was anything spectacular that came out of it, but it was good. It was a solid effort. Jameel Wilson, just screwing around, had a ridiculous dunk waiting for one of them to go. So he seems a little bit more explosive as well.
Yeah, and something to not take into too seriously, but it's something to look at from the game, is the box score from the scrimmage. Jumping out, Juwan Johnson had 12 points in the game, so that led all scores.
Yeah, he had a couple of shots from three. He looked, in the scrimmage itself of the freshman, he looked the most ready to play. And again, this is kind of the part where I go, you can't read too much into it, but Juwan Johnson had a shot. He could drive, good possession. Dwayne Wilson kind of disappointed a little bit, just in the standpoint of, again, you're not expecting a lot, and this isn't a knock, but I was expecting him to clearly be ready to go, and he just had real quiet, didn't really notice him there.
You're right. It's just a scrimmage, but take from it what you will.
Right.
But I did read a lot of the quotes from a few of the quotes from Media Day, checking out Paint Touches and Anonymous Eagle over the course of a few days, and GoMarquette.com as well. A lot of people seem to talk about Johnson as the guy who's impressed a lot in the early days of practice. And maybe, you know, when we broke down the depth chart, Phil, the shooting guard spot was the one where we had the biggest question as far as where the minutes are going to go. And it sounds like Johnson has put himself in a position to get quite a few of those minutes.
Yeah, I think he'll have a shot at them. Mayo was coming off an injury, but still looked okay. Juan Anderson looked good at the two. So I still think there's going to be a logjam there for Juwan Johnson, but I actually think, coming away from last night, I think he's the freshman, at least initially, that is most likely to get minutes and to get the most minutes.
And also in the department of not big surprises at all, because it's kind of what we expected. Buzz Williams basically said the starting point guard job is Derek Wilson's to lose. We basically expected that, again, when we broke down the depth chart a couple podcasts ago, that we fully expect Derek Wilson to be the starter early, and I guess now we'll see if Dwayne Wilson is able to take more minutes late. But it seems like Buzz has a lot of confidence in Derek Wilson to run the offense, and reading some of the quotes from Derek, it sounds like he's ready to be more of a scorer, whereas he was not asked to score at all in the past. Sounds like he realizes that he's going to have to at least shoot a little bit in order to get teams to respect him, and so that way he can create for others.
Yeah, I would say actually, if we focus on the point guard position right now, two kind of surprises, if you will, came out of it for me. First of all, John Dawson, who's kind of seemed to be the forgotten man on the totem pole, in some instances kind of outperformed Dwayne Wilson. So I think we've got some depth there that we maybe weren't anticipating. The other thing is, you know, and we talked about it in a previous podcast, I was kind of the opinion, you know, without real any evidence, or any real evidence, excuse me, that at some point Dwayne Wilson was going to take over from Derek Wilson. I think Derek Wilson's going to hold on to the starting job longer than we thought. He looked really good last night, possessing the ball, distributed it well, broke down his defender and got into the lane a couple of times and put up some shots. That was a Derek Wilson that was, you know, probably 20-30% better than he was last year. Again, it's one night. It's, you know, roughly 30 minutes of basketball, but I think he's ready to be the leader on this team. I wouldn't put away the question marks at point guard, but I certainly would mute them a little bit.
Again, we'll see. It's good to at least see what he looked like in the scrimmage, and judging by the quotes, it sounds like everyone is pretty confident that he's going to be able to run this offense. And if he's not, it's not like they have some young guys behind him. We'll see if they're able to pick up the slack. But you know, the one positive with Derek Wilson has always been that he doesn't turn the ball over very much. And he's been very careful with the ball. He's been responsible, doesn't make dumb mistakes out there. So if he can just kind of expand that game from basically kind of a conservative style of just not messing up, and then maybe take a few more chances and maybe score a little more and then create a little more from there, maybe he could become a very solid player. And he's, you know, got two more years at Marquette, and he could be a 2-year starter.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to light the world on fire with his scoring, but I definitely think he's got the capability to score enough to keep defenses honest, which is going to only benefit his distribution capabilities with the rest of the team. Because he doesn't, you know, with the rest of the scoring we have on the team, he just needs to score enough to make sure that teams guard him. That's all.
All right, so we'll see what happens at the point guard spot. Shooting guard spot we've talked about quite a bit already. You know, all those switchables, just going to see how Buzz swaps them out from Johnson to Anderson to Jamil Wilson to Todd Mayo, how they're all going to play out in those 2-3-4 spots. I think that'll be interesting to see, and Burton is in the mix there certainly as well. And then the, you know, the front court will be interesting. I mentioned it a minute ago. I think we might see Gardner and Otule together a little bit more. I still think they'll, for the most part, swap out a lot at the 5 spot like they did last year. Maybe Gardner's a little more comfortable stepping outside and hitting jumpers from the 4 spot this year, but there has to be room in that front court, certainly for Steve Taylor, I would hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And Steve Taylor was, just like Mayo, was coming off an injury, but he still looked really good. He did Steve Taylor stuff, you know, lots of rebounds around the hoop, going, putting the ball back up, a lot of hustle. This is where if Gardner is going to play the 4 a lot, then I think Gardner and Otule start the game. If Gardner's not going to play a ton of 4, it's going to be situational, then I think Steve Taylor actually gets the start. And Jamil's locked in at the 3. I mean, he's clearly going to be – he just had a vicious dunk. I think it was on Derek Wilson right down the lane. Derek Wilson tried to take a charge and pretty much just got Jamil Wilson's midsection in his face. But the other aspect, and this was the one other disappointing thing I will say, and again, This is not, you know, it's a very small sample size. But McKay was almost non-existent in the scrimmage. And he would presumably be in the mix at the four spot. And there wasn't much there from him last night.
Looking at the box score again, I wasn't there. I don't see any rebounds. Played 19 minutes. Again, small sample size. Probably won't read too much into it. I would think he would be, if Jameel Wilson is going to play the three, I would think McKay would be in line for quite a few minutes at the four, at least a fair number, splitting those with Steve Taylor and Devontae Gardner. But if Jameel is going to play more at the four, then maybe McKay is down on the depth chart a little bit and maybe doesn't play as much with Wilson and Taylor ahead of him. I am curious to see the guy because he has a reputation as a pretty good rebounder. Hopefully he can make his mark on the defensive end or whatever, you know, whatever he's going to bring to this team. I'm really kind of curious to see how he makes his mark and how much he's going to play early. My expectation is that he will be one of the first kind of bigs off the bench.
Yeah, the one thing that I think is going to be a detriment to him in this season, and we'll see what Todd Smith can do with him, but he was, like, ridiculously skinny. And maybe that's part of his game, but, like, he has – if he's going to play the four, there are going to be opportunities where he's just going to get pushed around. But, I mean, it was again, small sample size. I'm not going to read too much into it, but there, I think Wilson, Jameel Wilson's going to be locked in pretty much at the three, and between him and Juan, the three will be covered. I think McKay, Gardner, and Steve Taylor play the four the majority of the time, and then it's going to be Gardner and Otule at the five. And if Buzz wants to go really fast, I think he may even play McKay a little bit at the five, but the only way he can do that is if he's also playing Otule at the four. Mm-hmm. So, but he could do that. I mean, this team is set up to play about 17 different styles of basketball,
right.
and they can play fast. There's a ton of depth, so it's going to be a very interesting lineup they have going on.
Right. If you could take a quick stab at it, looking at opening night against Southern, what would you guess the starting lineup would be that night based on what limited information we have right now?
I would say it's going to be Derek Wilson at the one, Todd Mayo at the two, Jameel Wilson at the three, Otule at the five, because Buzz would never not start him because Buzz wants to win the tip. The only question mark for me is the four, and it just really depends on how serious Buzz is playing Gardner and Otule together. If he's serious about that, then I think Gardner gets to start at the four. Otherwise, it's going to be Steve Taylor at the four.
I actually agree with the starting lineup, and I'm going to definitely go more towards Taylor starting at the four for the reason you said. I don't think we're going to see Gardner and Otule that much together, at least not against Southern, for sure. Maybe as we get deeper into Big East play, we might see that a little more. But I think the starting lineup, which again, based on what little information I have at the moment, starting lineup opening night would be Derek Wilson. And I'm actually going to say Juwan Johnson is going to steal a starting spot and start at the two.
You think so?
I'm just taking a stab at it, shot in the dark. I'm going to say Johnson starts at the two. Maybe he doesn't see the most minutes, but I'll say he starts at the two.
That would be sending a message to Todd for sure.
Now, yeah, maybe so. And maybe Todd isn't 100% healthy coming back, and maybe that plays into it, starting at the two spot that night. But then I will say Taylor at the four and Otule at the five.
Yeah.
Buzz is not shy. He will play the five best guys.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll start the guys that have earned it in practice.
Right. And we talk about it every year, and it's not going to change. It's going to come down not necessarily to the offense per se, but it's going to be who has demonstrated to Buzz that they can play defense. Mm-hmm. You know, so if Juwan Johnson can play defense at a Big East type level, and his offense permits him to perhaps be a better solution than Todd, then Juwan Johnson will get the start. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I have to say that I'm very, even though we're mid college and college football and NFL, I'm very hyped for the season. It's going to be. There's a lot of possibility with this team.
I certainly agree. Any other takeaways from Marquette Madness that we've left out?
Again, small sample size, but I do have to say I'm still a little concerned with the outside shooting. Hopefully Jameel Wilson will continue to hit at a good clip. If Trey J can hit some threes, Devontae Gardner. There wasn't a lot of outside shooting last night, but that doesn't mean it can't be there. But it's still got to be a little bit of a concern, because otherwise
they're just
concerned
last year, and we don't know about the guys coming in this year yet, as far as we haven't seen them in game action, about Johnson and if Todd Mayo will have his shot back, which kind of was hit or miss last season. So I think it's fair to say that outside shooting could be a concern as we go into the season. One thing not a concern right now for Marquette apparently is recruiting, because there were a lot of recruits on hand. We'll start with the big one. That was right. There was a lot of them. And I think the fact that a lot of the colleges have started to stagger their Midnight Madness events and allows recruits to attend more than one now, because they're not all on the same night. I think that kind of plays into it, but colleges are taking full advantage of trying to get as many recruits on campus as they can. And Buzz and his staff did a fantastic job getting a lot of guys in there. Most important one is probably Ahmed Hill, the shooting guard from Augusta, Georgia, who actually committed to Marquette over the weekend. Another nice get for Buzz Williams' class. This is a consensus top 100 guy, depending what recruiting service you look at, maybe a top 50 guy. And Buzz went after him like he was a top 10 guy.
Yeah.
He put in a lot of time to get him. And apparently from what everyone writes about him, what people say about him, that this is a very important get. So it looks like Marquette should be set at the guard position for the next couple years now, with him coming in, as well as Sandy Cohen, who's another combo guard that's coming in, who's a Wisconsin kid.
Yeah, I think it was a big get, and it's nice to get an announcement coming out of Marquette Madness, because you know there were probably 30 recruits there last night. From all over the board, and you know, I wasn't a stalker, and I didn't have a roster of pictures taped to my arm, so I couldn't say who was who. But getting Hill really solidifies the class for next year, leaving us one spot open theoretically for a gentleman who is taller than 6'8".
That would be ideal. Buzz will certainly go after the best guy he can get, regardless of how tall he is. You would hope that there would be a big man of some sort in the offing, whether it's going to be a JUCO, whether it's a high school senior, or if Marquette decides to go the graduate transfer route at the end of the season to fill that need. Because with Otule and Gardner graduating, there will obviously be a huge need for another big next year. But worry about next year. Next year, right now Marquette has three of their four scholarship allotments for next season filled. We mentioned Cohen, Hill. Malik Harris, I'm just going to touch on this briefly because we don't know much about it, but it is worth mentioning. He's a commit for next year. He's a small forward, 6'7 kid out of Illinois, but he has been suspended for his entire senior year there in Illinois. Reasons undisclosed. All we know is it is a violation of team rules. So I don't know how to break this down too much without knowing exactly what happened. It could just be a small thing, which is what I'm hoping. A small thing that he broke a school rule and by rule has to miss his season. And if that's the case, it's probably not that big a deal as far as Marquette is concerned. You know, Buzz and his coaches are in touch with Harris. They're not in the dark on this thing. They know exactly what happened. And if it's going to be an issue for Marquette, then the two will go their separate ways. If it's not an issue, then he will sign at the early signing date in November. November 13th is the day. And then and only then can Buzz actually comment publicly on it, because Buzz can't say anything about a high school recruit until he has a national letter of intent from the recruit. So maybe then we might find out what exactly was going on and how concerned Marquette is with Harris's situation. But all we really know now is that he violated some type of team or school rule, and he will not play his senior year.
Yeah. Well, and the rumor on the street is that he contacted Buzz directly, and Buzz is in the loop as to what's going on. And like you said, nobody can comment on anything. We'll see if he signs. It's one of these, you know, in Buzz we trust. I don't see any reason if Buzz says, you know, has all the information and says, yep, he should be someone we bring on board, and the administration signs off on it, then great. We chalk it up to a kid who made a mistake and is going to come to Marquette, where he's going to hopefully, A, not repeat that mistake, and B, be put in a position where Marquette helps him learn from those mistakes, so he doesn't make them again. And if he's, you know, if it's not something that we should really be dealing with, then they'll pull that trigger as well. And this just goes to show you why you should always be recruiting. If there's something, you know, not good here, then Buzz says, okay, thank you very much. We'll look elsewhere. And if he brings him in, then that just keeps a very strong class together. And again, hopefully the kid matures here at Marquette. We'll see where it goes. But there's not much to go on, and I certainly wouldn't pass judgment on him either way. You know, it's nothing seems to have shown up from a legal standpoint. So
right.
Until then let's leave it between Malik, his parents, the school, and Marquette, and call it a day.
All right. Well, like I said, we'll know more in November. If he signs on the early signing period, then Buzz can comment on it, and he will explain it to the best as he can. I'm sure he won't give it all the information, because if the school hasn't given all the information, the high school, because there's been no articles or anything released about exactly what happened, then I don't think Buzz will go into details. But Buzz would certainly have to address it on signing day, because someone's inevitably going to ask the question, you know, why are you bringing in a kid who was suspended for his senior year? And Buzz will, I would assume at that point, say, he made a mistake, he learned from it, we're okay with it, it's not going to happen again, we're good. But if he doesn't sign, I think that will tell us all we need to know, that maybe the two have gone their separate ways. According to everything else, he's still a Marquette commit. There's been no news of him decommitting or the two parting ways. So I think at this point, we can assume that it's something that everyone is just going to get over and move past, and he is still on his way to Marquette. But like I said, I think we'll know more about that on November 13th.
Right, and we'll just leave it at that.
Leave it at that. But the other thing I want to touch on as far as recruits being there is looking forward to 2015 and beyond. There weren't just 2014 commits recruits there. There were recruits from future classes, including Niskoviak from 2015, who's verbally committed, and Flory from the 2017 class, who's a verbal commitment to Marquette as well. But the two big ones that really jump off the page were Diamond Stone, who we have been talking about for a while, Marquette fans have been talking about for a while now, the Dwayne Wilson's high school teammate at Dominican, 6'10 kid, top 10 guy in the 2015 class, possible one-and-done player as far as college basketball is concerned, and then off to the NBA. And another five-star kid who I really didn't know much about until this week, reading up on, is Matthew Campbell, who's a five-star guard out of St. Rita in Chicago. So two five-star commitments were at Marquette Madness for next year. And I think it's really exciting that those two are on campus now and are getting close to the program. I mean, Diamond Stone's been close to the program, by all accounts, for quite a while now. And to see that this Campbell kid is now has a high interest, because Paint Touch has reported that he was not only at Marquette Madness, but he's coming back in a month to catch the Ohio State game. So it seems like his interest is really high. And if Buzz can get two top 15 commitments for next year, again, neither one is a lock at this point, by the way. So maybe I'm kind of putting the cart before the horse here. But if Buzz can get two five-star commitments for next year, that is really, really exciting.
Yeah, it's ridiculously exciting. And you know, especially around Diamond Stone, you and I talked off-air, if you will, and had a little inside information, nothing that goes public yet. But there definitely seems to be some very positive news coming in regarding Diamond Stone that leads you to believe we're certainly in the running for him. So between those, I mean, it's kind of the heyday of Marquette recruiting right now. I, you know, even in the Crean years, we, even with the Big Three coming in, I don't remember us ever being this well off in terms of potential recruits that we have hanging around the program and showing a lot of interest. There was always, it always seemed to be one big recruit we kind of thought we had. In this instance, we're looking at 2, 3, 4 different big time 5-star recruits that are kind of sniffing around the program. This is heady days indeed.
Right. I'll say this last thing about Diamond Stone. I think it's foolish to assume that he's a lock at this point, because he's going to have every blue blood in the country after him. Kentucky, Duke, Kansas, UCLA, Michigan State, they're all going to be in his ear. So he's going to have a ton of options. But I also think it's foolish to assume that Marquette is out of it. Marquette has got, by all accounts, a great relationship with Stone and his coaches and his family. And his interest in Marquette is legitimate, as opposed to some past five-star guys in the Milwaukee area, like the Takoto kid who went to North Carolina, and Kevin Looney, who is apparently out on Marquette and is looking at probably Duke or Kentucky or some school.
As long
like
as
that.
It's not Madison.
Yeah, Madison is still on this list. I'm not sure if he's going there. My gut says he's on his way to a blue blood. As most five stars in Wisconsin, they tend to leave the state.
Right.
But Diamond Stone is going to be – Marquette is going to be in the mix for Diamond Stone all the way to the very end. From everything I read, everything I hear, I think it's going to be very close. If Marquette gets him, that's going to be outstanding, and we'll just have to wait and see on that one. The fact that he's at Marquette Madness is certainly encouraging. You know, I wouldn't read too much into it because it's not like he flew across the country to get there. But the fact that he's there and he's talking to recruits and has genuine interest in the program is exciting. And the thing is, we're not going to know, I would guess, until spring of his senior year, because guys who are that highly touted tend to sign late just kind of for their own protection, as far as if there's any turnover on coaches or assistants or anything like that. They tend to wait to sign at the very last minute. So it might be a while till we know on Diamond Stone, but I expect Marquette to be in this for quite a while.
Right. Absolutely. And like I said, at the end of the day, whether he comes here or not, it just kind of shows to what level the program's come to. And you know, there's always some consternation about what the change in the conference is. The new Big East going to be able to recruit at the level they were previously? I would say, based on some of the recruiting gets that some of the teams in the new Big East have gotten, as well as what we're seeing at Marquette Madness and the recruits we're on, I don't think we're going to miss a beat in the new conference. I think it's going to be crazy good for the next couple of years.
Yeah, there have been quite a few really high-profile commits that have committed to the Big East. Off the top of my head, without looking them up, I know Paul White, who is Jahlil Okafor's high school teammate. He's the top recruit. Okafor's the top recruit in 2014. Paul White's a four-star guy, also at Whitney Young. He's on his way to Georgetown. Isaiah Whitehead is a five-star kid in Brooklyn. Went to the same high school as Stephon Marbury and Sebastian Telfair. He's committed to Seton Hall. So they are getting a five-star guy. And there's several others that I would have to look up, and I'm just not going to do it. But the bottom line is the Big East is apparently doing very well in recruiting across the board, and that's encouraging. DePaul is even in the mix for one of the top players in the class. I don't think they're going to get him, Cliff Alexander, but DePaul is in the mix for guys like that.
Well, and it's good. Even, you know, it's good. You know, it becomes tough when we have to play them and play all these different teams, and the talent level is raising. But in general, it's a good thing to have in the off season to have these Big East teams, our brethren, if you will, out there and recruiting and landing big numbers. It raises the profile of the conference in general, and it forces folks to take the conference seriously and the team seriously, and hopefully we can keep garnering attention, because these first couple of years in the new Big East with new Fox Sports One and those sorts of things, it's going to be critical to developing the brand recognition and building that up. So I think we're on a really good pace, really good location right now. We'll have to see what the next couple of years hold for us.
Best way to keep getting attention, just keep winning.
Right. Always.
Just keep winning. Go deep in March, and the rest will take care of itself. So that's encouraging. One more thing I did want to mention before we get out of here. Congrats and good luck to Vander Blue, who was picked up by the Philadelphia 76ers. Might have a shot to make that team. I still think it's going to be a tough road for him to get to the NBA and play a lot, but it's good to see that he got picked up and he's getting a chance to play.
Well, and there's no reason that he couldn't, as a result of whatever he's – assuming he makes the most of his opportunity, no reason to think if he doesn't land with the Sixers, he can't get a deal with the NBDL or maybe a high-profile team over in Europe. So – He's still got plenty of time. I mean, he's a young, I don't even think he's 20 yet. So
right.
He's got plenty of time and opportunity. So it's good. That makes what, 9 players in the NBA theoretically?
Potentially, yes. You caught me off guard. I don't want to have to do math on it.
Yeah.
Bottom line is Marquette is doing very well. Dwight Bikes looks to be in pretty good position with the Raptors. I think he's going to make the team, or at least be on their D-League team. Trent Lockett, he's still in camp with the Kings, so good for him. Jarrell McNeil, he was cut by the Jazz, but at his request, because he got a big contract to go play in China. So McNeil is well off. Selfishly, of course, we want to see him play in the United States, but apparently he got a good contract, so good luck for him. And, of course, we've got our other guys who are solid on contracts in the NBA with Wade, Crowder, Novak, Jimmy Butler. They're all doing just fine. Wesley Matthews, of course, can't leave him out. So good to see Marquette guys in the NBA. Hopefully those guys like Bikes, Lockett, and Blue make rosters, or at least on the D-League, and we can continue to see them play here in the United States. Want to thank everybody for listening to Scrambled Eggs. Again, you can check us out on Crack Sidewalks. That's where we post them. Also, exciting news, we are on iTunes now. Exciting.
Yeah, we found technology.
So, yeah, we are moving up in the world. So, we're on iTunes, so you can download the podcast and listen to it there. We even have a little Facebook page. It's not going to be one of those Facebook pages that ask you to share, comment, and like everything. We're just going to put, whenever we do a podcast, we're going to post it there, and that's really all we're going to do. So, if you want to like us on Facebook, look for Scrambled Eggs. We're on there as well.
And that's mostly because we're lazy.
Yeah, really. And that, we just don't want to clog your Facebook feeds too much with, you know, pictures of what we're eating and
and our dogs.
All right, exactly. And, of course, as always, follow us on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is M-O-O-O-F 23. And, of course, Crack Sidewalks is where we post the blogs. You can follow them on Twitter as well. Phil, final thoughts as we wrap up our Marquette Madness edition of Scrambled Eggs?
Final thoughts is 29 days to the season opener. I'm excited. We got a lot of talent, a lot of time. The next month, I'll just have to fill the days watching football while I wait for Marquette basketball to return.
Almost there.
We're so close.
Can't wait. Next time we talk, we will be breaking down the first game of the season on November 8th against Southern. Until then, for Phil Bush, I'm Joe McCann. Seashells and balloons, everybody.